Hey, there's an idea for a new pet. We're going to look today at some of the awkward moments we have in life. Maybe you've seen this on Twitter or Facebook, that awkward moment when, and then someone finishes the sentence. Any of you seen that on Facebook or Twitter? Well, okay, that's great. Well, the rest of you, we'll talk next week about what the internet is and how it can affect your life. So basically what will happen is someone will finish a sentence. You know, that awkward moment when you have couples over to your house and one of the couples is fighting. That awkward moment when you ask someone, when's the baby due, and there's no baby due. You know, sort of these, I had one of these moments fairly recently. I was going to Colorado on a plane, and I was sitting next to this really sweet older couple, really nice, and they were older couple, not as in, you know, newly retired couple. I mean, they were pretty old, like, as in, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God kind of old, and they're there, and they're a real nice couple. What happens is we take off, and she brings out a pair of clippers, and she starts clipping her nails. Not like clipping a little nail off. And I won't talk to you about how thick they were and not washed. So she's clip, 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 clip. And so then she has this pile of nails in her dress. And I'm there, you know, it's hot out. It's 100 degrees in Colorado. I have my shorts and flip-flops. She goes like this. And all of a sudden, I have her nails between my toes. Yeah. Oh, it gets worse. Then, just like in the Garden of Eden, where the woman tempts the man, she hands him the clippers. Clip, 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 clip. He has a pile of nails, and he sweeps them my way. It was like a satanic plot or something like that. And you're saying, well, why did you say that? Just not really no reason. I just thought I'd share it with you. And, you know, it was one of those awkward moments. We've had that. Really, when it comes to faith discussions, often there can be real awkward moments. I was with a relative not too long ago, and this relative loves Jesus. I love Jesus. He believes the Bible. I believe the Bible. We should be good. But when it comes to sharing faith, he sort of learned a way of doing it, how you sort of just lay things on people. That can be a little bit, off-putting for me. He'll hand out tracts, nothing wrong with that, sort of how to become a Christian kind of thing. But the way he does it, there's a bit of a cringe factor. And we were at dinner, and I knew it was coming. We're at a wonderful dinner, great time, great conversation. At the end of dinner, the server comes up. With the bill, and he goes, I bet you'd like a tip, wouldn't you? Yeah. He goes, let me give you a tip on how you can have eternal life. And I'm like, okay, and I crawl underneath the table, you know. That's okay, because Jesus is there too. He's embarrassed as well. And he said, yeah, I don't know about this guy. But it really one of those things that I agree with him on how we view God, but the way it's lived out, especially when it comes to discussions around faith, are way different. And so what I want to do today, if you're here and you say, well, hey, I'm not even sure I've answered the God question in my life, great day to be here. I talked to a couple people at the Saturday night service, a couple guys, and they said, you know, this was really helpful for them moving forward on their faith journey. And wish I could even explain the depth of those conversations. But really, this is for us to get rid of some of the awkwardness around faith conversations. But before we do that, I want to look at what God's commission is to us. If you'll take your outline out of your program, John 20, verse 21. Jesus says this, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And here's the deal. It says it again and again in the Bible. It says it in the book of Acts 1:8, that we are called to an assignment. If you've decided to follow Jesus, there are some things that are off the table. There are some issues when it comes to lifestyle that are probably off the table for you. There are some issues of mission that we have a mission that God has assigned to us. Now, how we live that out is where it gets tricky. Well, why are faith discussions so difficult? What's the problem with them? The first one, I think, is a big one, is it causes us to evaluate the validity of ideas. You know, oftentimes what will happen is we have a hard time calling something wrong. I mean, we know there are certain, some people say, people today don't believe in absolute truths. We know some things are absolutely true. We believe in gravity. We believe in death and taxes. We believe there's going to be another Kardashian spinoff. There are some things that are just going to happen, and we know they're going to happen. But when it comes to spiritual issues, we become uncomfortable. See, we don't like to challenge the validity of ideas. I mean, have you ever been around people and then someone will say something crazy and no one challenges it? You know, they'll say, hey, do you know the space shuttle program? They're going to move it all to Sammamish. And you're like, oh, that sounds interesting, you know? And we don't challenge it. Sometimes people say crazy things and we just sit and listen. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. You were here last week. You heard Pastor Dave, right? What happened is we don't like it because of the conflict that can center around it. And see, here's the cultural question can be this, is which religion is right? Let me back up a bit. You might write this in your margin if you like to read. There's a book by Paul Copen called True for You and Not for Me. And it's just one of many books that deals with the common philosophy in our culture. Hey, you know, you might even say this is true for me. Christianity is true for me. It may not be true for you, or vice versa. Or there's the idea that all worldviews are basically true. Here's the problem, is that no religion claims that for themselves. If you're Taoist or Hindu or Buddhist or Mormon or Muslim or Jewish or Jehovah's Witness or Unitarian or Baha'i faith, every faith system claims exclusively and absolutely that they have the right belief system. So either you reject belief altogether, or what we say is, well, I guess that one of them might be right. And see, this is because we know people who are jerks about this, don't we? We know people who just want to lay the truth on you. And we are called, though, to evaluate the validity of faith systems. And see, the real big issue, the transcultural question is not which religion is right, but who's God? And what's his claim on my life? So that's why we feel uncomfortable. See, we don't have a hard time converting people when it comes to certain things, just when it's religion. That's the whole idea. Like, for example, we're obviously in Microsoft country here. I use a PC. I know there's some of you who don't, and I have friends of mine who use Macs, and they're like, oh, I can't believe it. Don't you know that if you use this Mac, it would absolutely change your life, and it's absolutely wonderful, and you just don't know what you're talking about? And they get passionate, and they're evangelists. You've heard me say before, the only, what's the difference between a terrorist and a Mac user? You can negotiate with a terrorist. I'm sorry. You know, I have friends who are, you know, Mac users too, and I have a couple Apple products. But the whole deal is that we get passionate, and we want to convert people, but not when it comes to the really big issues in our life. So that's one of the problems. Here's another one, is people often feel about their faith rather than think about it. And that's okay, because a lot of us, in fact, my guess is many or most of us are, how many of you would say, you know, I'm primarily, you know, sort of the feeler thinker, we do both, but I'm primarily a feeler. How many of you would say that's you? Go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, that's great, you're heartless people. Okay, how many of you would say I'm primarily a thinker? A lot of you. We are in tech country. How many of you neither think nor feel? That's great. You're called a sociopath. Anyway, what will happen is, I'm just teaching. It's all true today is really what I'm talking about. And I really just want to teach more and preach through this. What will happen is we will elevate feelings to the level of evidence. Why does this happen? For example, issues centering around sexuality. Wow, that's a big one. And so we might say, okay, the Bible teaches this. This is a way, that sexuality is saved for the marriage relationship, and that's how God designed it. And so what will happen is we know people who are not operating according to that, and we'll say, I don't hate them, and you shouldn't hate anyone. And so with that, we will sometimes be tempted. We'll be tempted to change our belief based on how we feel about someone or something. And instead of just let the tension be there and say, you know what, God says is true, and I'm going to have to deal with this. And that'll happen. We know people who we want to believe that every road leads to God. Here's the problem is it doesn't. And you think about the whole idea of even karma. The idea is I've got to work and get it right. The problem is it never works. And so we can want to, the loving thing is to help people get out of that cycle of belief that leads to frustration and to despair. See, another reality is sometimes we resist God. And this can go for us if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, I don't share my faith. And maybe because there's areas of our life we're just not following God and we feel disqualified. Or there's someone in your life and, you say, well, if they just knew enough truth. You know what? There's some people who would not believe that water is wet. That's true because they have already decided in advance to not believe. You know that Jesus literally raised people from the dead and performed miracles? People saw it. They knew him. They lived with him. And they said, I'm still not going to believe. And so that can be another problem. Another problem is we still have some doubts. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says, I can have confidence in my salvation. That's something, man, you cannot behave your way from God's presence. That you can have confidence in your relationship with God. But we have doubts and other issues. And so maybe for you, it's, a miracle in the Bible. I've talked about miracles and why, you really can believe that God can work outside of the natural realm of thing before. Maybe did God create everything in 6 literal days? That was a big one for me, or 6 periods of time or whatever. You know what I realized is that God could create the world in 6 seconds. But it really doesn't matter what is the Bible speaking literally there or figuratively. So, it's one of those things that it's not one of those really big issues. Now, here's how I always interpret Scripture. I always just take it as face value unless I have some sort of evidence that it's a figurative statement. For example, it says in the Bible, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't really think that God has little ranches all over the earth. So I'm saying, that's probably talking about God's. See, there are statements like that we find in the Scripture as well. So here's another problem if you want to avoid faith discussions, is our spiritual lives affect everything. It affects how you spend money. It affects your sexuality. It affects your dating, your marriage. It affects whether or not you forgive someone. It affects how you view people. And it affects how you view yourself. So whenever you have a discussion, you're always having a discussion around faith, whether it's overt or covert. See, and here's what the Bible says to us who are Christ followers. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, the most amazing truth in the Bible is that God wants to be my friend. And in a natural part, you know how it is when you have a friend that you think is real cool. What do? You introduce them to your other friends. And see, that's what faith sharing is about. It's about introducing our friend to another friend. And so how does that affect us? There's another verse. This isn't in your outline, but it is in the Bible. I want it, Philemon 1:6. I want this up on the screen. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Can you leave that up there for a moment? See, there's a dichotomy that's sometimes taught. Well, for a church, I've had people ask this. So are you a church that's really about growing people up in Christ or reaching people for Christ? You have to be both. In fact, this verse, if you study the Scripture and you say, I hope you will be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything, every good thing we have in Christ. If you don't share your faith, what does that tell us? you will not have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. So if we don't share, then we will not have maturity. The Bible says that in a number of places. So there's a benefit for the world, but there's a benefit for us as well. How do we do this? 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Will you underline that? Gentleness and respect. You know, the way you say things will affect the way things are received. Do you understand that? Yeah, okay. How many of you are married here? Yeah. Does the way you say things matter? Yeah. If you don't know that, you're in trouble. So we know that. So it's with gentleness and respect. I know people who say, well, I'm going to just lay truth on people. And I'm going to just lay it and I'm going to tell them the truth. Do you know what? I have not run into one person who said, you know, I was in downtown Seattle and there was a guy with a sign and it had a scripture verse and he told me I should burn in hell for eternity and I just decided to follow Jesus that day. You know, I've never met a single person who said, well, there were some people who said they were Christians and they were out there protesting and screaming and now I follow Jesus. If it worked, maybe I'd be open to it. I just think it's absolutely and completely ineffective. You say, well, that's how I feel. Well, that's okay. It's just ineffective. See, I'm committed to being, I know I sound a little dogmatic here, but it doesn't work, so why do things that don't work? And see, when I look at Jesus and how he dealt with people, he, you know, it's sort of funny. He would share with people who were in massive sexual sin, people who were pagans, people who did vile things, and he treated them with a gentleness and respect. He was only harsh with those who would put up barriers from people coming to God. Read the Bible. He was only the Pharisees, sometimes he was a little bit ticked off at. So what are essentials to sharing your faith? One is availability. Am I available? Am I available? And part of it, you know what part of the problem is we're busy. I'm busy. Yesterday, before the Saturday night service, we had a block party in my neighborhood. And by the way, in my neighborhood, they put the P in party. So they're, you know, the great thing is that by the time I arrive, most of them are so drunk they really want to talk about Jesus. And the, I'm not even kidding. Oh, yeah, you know, here, come on, here's Father Ben. And, you know, that's sort of where the discussion is. I always try to get, by the way, people when they're drunk, they always want to talk about Jesus. So somebody's saying, how do you know this? I've just heard rumors. So I always try to get them why they're sober so I can talk to them a little bit about Jesus. And but I didn't get an opportunity. I went every year, but I'm just available. I don't push it. You know, I don't walk up and say, hey, is that chair saved? Because you can be. It just isn't going to be highly effective in that. But I'm always praying because, you have opportunities. You don't need it. My personality, some of you have a great personality, and man, it just seems like every conversation is a spiritual conversation. Not for me, not really. But God presents me with so many opportunities that sometimes I'm like faced with, okay, am I truly faithful? See, here's what it says in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed, this is the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Because it will heal broken hearts, it'll heal broken bodies, it'll heal the areas of our life that are broken and bring salvation. See, that's why it's really good news to share. But oftentimes, you know, here's another reason that sometimes we don't do it. It's because people know us. You know, that's why, for me, that was a big issue for me. People will really know they know when you lied, they know when you gossiped, they know when you drank too much. And so we feel disqualified because of current struggles or past sin. But if God can only work through perfect people, what kind of God is that? By the way, This is another reason. Some people will say, I'm just a silent witness for God. And part of that is legitimate, but here's the problem if you're always silent. If they look at your life, they'll believe you are great, but they won't believe God is great. And so what happens is when they see you and they see you're sort of a mess, but something's changing, they're like, oh, I want that God who can bring that change in my life too. And so what's the qualification? You just need to be a mess. I think you're 100% qualified. If you don't believe you are, let me point something out. That's the incredible message, is that I don't need to be who I was. I don't even need to. And some of you right now, I know it. I've talked to you, and you're saying, Ben, my marriage is such a mess, or the issues of addiction, or just pride, or just anger. Let Jesus work in that in your life. Know that God promises he will work. And in that process, just say, I believe in the God who is at work in me. See, that's what it says in Philippians 1:6, that God is at work, that God is not finished. Some of you, some of you are so frustrated with your faith? Because you think God's finished with you. And he's not. He's still at work. He really is. Well, here's another issue, is that we often think, well, we need to do the whole deal here. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, this is Apostle Paul saying, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. We feel like, you know, we need to just share everything about God to everyone. No, you don't. You hear those stories. You probably heard it in church or something if you went to church. You know, someone says, well, I was sitting on an airplane and I was sitting next to a guy and he didn't even believe in God, but I showed him from the Bible how God, Jesus is who he really said he is. And so he became a Christian. He, in the airplane, he got in the aisle. He bent down on his knees. He accepted Jesus. Then he grabbed a parachute and he went to a remote village and he led them to Christ. And, you know, and we believe, by the way, your pastor lied to you. That never happened. Oftentimes, God just uses us in the process. See, one of the great things here is that God has allowed us, really as a church, to help many people sort of close the loop where they've come to a faith in Christ. I love, you know, one of the things I like about the 11:15 and the Saturday night service is that afterwards I get to hear your story. By the way, if you say, you know, God, I've connected with God or made a decision for Christ here at Timberlake, if you could email that to me, just ben@timberlakechurch.com, that would be great. I want to hear your story. Well, let me move on. We also need to be clear and equipped. Clear and equipped. What do I mean? We need to know what the gospel is and what it's not. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about even predestination or free will. It's not about even family values. The gospel is this. It's God's view of our condition. It's about Jesus and what he did and our personal response to God's view in Christ's work. See, that's what the gospel is. It's a gospel of redemption is really what it is. Most of you are not old enough to remember this, but way back in the 1960s, it's pretty interesting. The best-selling publication of the day. Any of you trivia buffs can guess? Anyone want to guess? Huh? Bible? Good guess? No? Number one most published? Not Reader's Digest. That's good. It's not a book. It's a catalog. Will that help? Sears, you're wrong again. It was by the Sperry H. Hansen and Company, S&H green stamps. Now, some of you don't even know what those are. Here's what it is. Like, before there was the internet and cool stuff, people, what would happen is, they had all these incentive programs. You'd go to a bank, you'd get a toaster, you'd go to Safeway, you could get a whole set of glasses. You could do your whole house in promo wear, pretty much. And so they'd give out these green stamps at a gas station, grocery store, etc., and you would fill up these books, and then you would take them and you'd get stuff for them. In fact, in the 1960s, S&H produced 3 times as many stamps as the United States Postal Service. It was a big deal. Literally, in a town in Pennsylvania, a bunch of schools got together, saved 5.5 million of these, and they bought 2 gorillas for the local zoo. Not even kidding. And so, so what would happen? Isn't that pretty cool? So what would happen is they'd bring them to these redemption centers. And the redemption center, the idea behind this is you sort of liberate the gorilla, and now I get it, or I liberate this vacuum. And we buy into this idea. And this is really prevalent in many worldviews, especially some Eastern religions. We'll even say, I need to redeem myself. And what's the idea? Is that eventually over time, I'm going to do enough, get enough, whatever, and I'm going to be lovable. The Bible says that the price is too high. And the gospel says is that Jesus Christ has done the work. He has redeemed you. And now the question is what is our response? So I need to be clear. I also need to be equipped. What does that mean? One, I need to simply know a gospel outline. I want you to take a look at this. This is a great way to explain faith. This one verse in the Bible, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you can write this on a napkin or something like that. So we'll look at this. Wages of sin is death. That's sort of me. People know that they're disconnected from God. And then there's God, and people want that connection. Gift of God, eternal life, hope, salvation. And so how do you bridge a gap? That's what almost everyone asks. What happens when I die? How do I bridge a gap? It's through Jesus Christ. And see, that explains how we enter into the relationship. So you can use that. We use this even during our membership class. By the way, I think it's July 29th or something like that, we're having a membership class. If you haven't been, encourage you to go. A lot of churches, you go like 2 hours a session for 12 weeks. We do this in 1 2.5-hour shot. And we take care of your kids. We feed you. You just can't drop off your kids and go someplace else. That would not be good. but it's one of those things. It's where you find out whether or not we're a cult. You know, that would be a good thing to find out. It's really... really encourage you to do that. So we explain that as part of our class. Also, we need to share our story. See, you don't need to know anything about the Bible. You can know your story about how God has become real in your life. That's the best way to share your faith. And you say, you know what? You know, those are really, really hard for me. Here's another way. Is just invite. We see that again and again in the Bible. There's a great story. I've listed them there. I'm not going to go through them in great detail. But there's a woman, a Samaritan woman. She's drawing water from the well. She was, if you know the story in the Bible, she was really well known in town. She had, she was known for having a lot of husbands and boyfriends and loose living and all of that kind of thing. And so it's pretty interesting. People were watching her life all the time. And so she said, hey, I met a man. And they're like, yeah, what else is new? And she goes, no. This guy, he didn't want to use me. He didn't ridicule me. He didn't reject me. This guy was radically different. He dealt with the truth of my life. And then he invited me to live differently, to receive hope again. And you know what she said? She said, I want everyone to know. I want everyone to know. And some of you have been in that same place. And that's why, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to this weekend that a friend of a friend of a friend brought them. You know, this is, we have a couple missions to church. One has been great. I mean, I looked at the month of June, we're up 27% year over year. It's been great to see God grow the church and all of that kind of thing. So we want to invite people. But we also want to raise the spiritual temperature of the whole region. Because wherever people come into a grace-based environment where God's word is preached, man, we're for that. We are for that. So you know those invite cards we put in your program every week? Some of you wonder why they're there. You're like, hey, this is interesting. Garbage. Invite a friend. And here's what I always say. Hey, why don't you come to church? If you don't like it, you never have to come again. Isn't that a compelling invitation? And it's interesting. In fact, Gallup organization says about 25% of people would respond. And so you might be here today and you say, why did my friend invite me to this church? Because they took a risk. Because they said, you know, I don't want to pressure you. I don't want this to be weird for you. But I have a friend I want to introduce you to. And it's not Pastor Ben, not Pastor Julian.
It's Jesus Christ. And when you understand God's view of you, it'll change absolutely everything. We read again in the scripture, John 1:40-42, again the invitation. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. You know, it's sort of funny, I get emails or calls almost every week, and they're like, "Ben, I'm inviting someone to church this weekend," which means do not mess it up. And I appreciate it. I appreciate but by the way, it's too late now. I'm pretty much done with the sermon. It's saying, I want to be able to share this because it's transformational. Well, all of this is important that we remain Jesus-focused. See, what it is, like I said, I'm excited. I think God is going to grow our church in our lives bigger than ever. But it's not even about us. It's not even about our life together as a church. It's about Jesus. Because otherwise, see, here's my greatest fear for the church. It's not that, we're going to do great and God's doing good things and that's awesome. And I really do appreciate that. But that we will get off track. That all of a sudden it'll be about, what is God doing for me? And we'll become consumers instead of called by God to make a difference. Because it's funny, the economy of the Bible is when I give my life away, I find it. But we're so trained to be consumers. When I was in Denver after I got over the nail clipping incident, I was there and went to a place, Lone Tree, Colorado. Have any of you been to Lone Tree, Colorado? Yeah, really cool place. I mean, they have like probably the best mall I've ever seen, and I don't even like malls. I think malls are a physical sign of that there is a hell, you know. But this mall was really good, and they had an entertainment district. It was awesome. And as I was there, I noticed something. They had an American Girl store. Well, I have two girls, and my daughters were really into American Girls. You know, that whole thing. They have these dolls that are like $100. I got them a picture. I never bought them one because I was too cheap. I'm not kidding. So but it was a big deal, the whole American Girl thing. I talked to someone who went on a vacation to go to the store. Really, they're really, really big deals, the American Girl. And so I thought, I got to see what the hubbub is about. So I'm there, had a couple hours to kill in the mall. So I walk in there, and they have all these dolls. And they have like part, you can get a meal there with your doll. They have a hair salon, $25 to get your doll's hair done. And I'm like, they're not real. And they had you could pay to get the makeup and the nails done, and it was just, people are like excited about these dolls, and I really learned that. I also learned that it's very creepy for a 40-something guy to go into a doll store. I mean, there's people checking on the internet, see if I'm on a list or something. And it's sort of funny, people are so passionate about it. Nothing wrong with that. Because it's like, you know what, this is really fun, this is really good, and the Bible says, Jesus said this about himself, is come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see that the Lord is good. What compels us? Why would we even do this? I mean, hey, this is a sunny weekend, and we actually, church is pretty full. By the way, thank you. Says in the Bible what? Christ, this is on the screen, Christ's love compels us. It's his love. Because I want as many people as I know to know God's plan and purpose in eternal life. Why don't you go ahead and do this? Just look to the person to the right of you and to the left of you. Go ahead and do that. I know it's a little weird, but go ahead and do it. You know that Christ loves them very, very deeply? He loves them very, very deeply. Look at the person in front of you. Christ loves them very, very, very deeply, especially if you're sitting in the front row. That's true as well. Anyway, That's what it's about. By the way, you're awesome. And here's really why I'm preaching this message here today, is I know some of you are new. We got a ton of new people in the church. You can know what we're about. A lot of you are doing a great job. And you know what? I believe the Bible says there's a party in heaven every time we're faithful, every time we say, I will risk, I will reach out. You know, one of the things we've done as a church this summer, we've done, you know, a lot of it has been missions-oriented, where we've, you know, Union Gospel Mission, that kind of stuff, and we've done a lot of things to help those who are less fortunate as well. But some of the things we've done in the summer service as well have just been, you know, having regular conversations about God. I want to just share with you, as the band comes up and we receive the offering, just a little bit of what's been happening during this summer service. Take a look at this.